with the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from Norwalk, Connecticut. We have a lot of illegal fireworks going on right now, so we're going to have an undisclosed location. To my right-hand side, I got Neil Lynch. He's here with me as always. We have no Tony D.
No Tony D.
He doesn't like the illegal aspect of it. Tony's got what people call a dirty old record.
He's got sensitive eardrums.
Yeah, Tony doesn't like it. JT, he's doing some sort of show. What's he doing?
He's casting at the beach for True Life MTV.
Hey, why would
True Life MTV? I want to date Captain Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack Sparrow. Well, we're here. We're happy 4th of July to everybody. I'm really excited. Before we even get started, I want to thank you, Neil, and JT. Last week, I wasn't able to come. It was actually the first week I've not been here. The first show I missed, so it was hard for me. I was down in Atlanta.
We didn't skip a beat.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. So my birthday, what I liked about you guys, and it's kind of like Amelia, what I like about you, the camaraderie we have, is an early birthday present. You guys really botched up the whole show. I had to sign, like, Mike, we can't do it without you.
Yeah.
Which I like that about you. Because if it went off, then I would feel like, man, they don't even need me.
No.
You guys need me.
No. I mean, obviously.
I mean, it was, but you know what? It was good, though. I liked the show after you guys got started.
All 5 minutes of it.
5 minutes of the show, you guys really nailed it. Well, let's get started. I think even though we're in the heart of baseball season, we gotta start with the NBA. I'm a huge net for me. You know, we had that little run where there was a couple NBA finals in a row, and you know, we were in the playoffs every year. The Jason Kidd, Vince era there, but the last few days, a Nets fan have been just outstanding.
Exciting with three X's.
And what I don't understand is. There are even Net fans. Evan Roberts, who's as big of a Net fan as anybody. And here we go. Evan Roberts wasn't thrilled about Johnson's trade unless we get Dwight Howard. And I don't understand that. I mean, let's just assume they don't get Dwight Howard at this point. You're talking about
Roberts is going to hang himself.
Well, he's going to be done. So hopefully a show will open up for us somewhere on the fan in the midday because – Joey B's going to need a partner, and I think he should take on us. But you look at what they've got. They've got a starting rotation right now. They signed Darren Williams late last night. They got Joe Johnson. You're going to have Marshawn Brooks. You're going to still have the hump. They just got that guy Evans, who's supposedly the dirtiest player in the NBA, which you got to like that. They got Gerald Wallace, and they got Brooke Lopez. That team right there, I mean, granted, they're not the Bulls, but don't forget the Bulls aren't going to have a healthy D. Rose all year. They're not the Heat, but you know what? Nobody's going to be. There's nothing they were going to do. Even if they get Howard, I don't think that they're going to be the Heat. How could you not be ecstatic about it? This is a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years. How could you not be ecstatic about it? That's a playoff team. That's a 4-3-4-5 seed in the playoffs.
But to get Howard, you're apparently going to have to mortgage everyone. You're going to have to get rid of Lopez and Hump.
Lopez, Hump, Marshawn Brooks, and 3 picks. I honestly, I'm telling you right now, as the fireworks are coming off above us, I don't even want the.
Do you think they're number two in the Atlantic in the East?
Next year, without a healthy D Rose, I think they right now they're number two. And who knows really? Their roster is clearly not filled out. I have no idea about the two guys they drafted in the second round. I don't know the first thing about either one of them. I hope that you know they got the guy from Europe, and the other guy they got in the earlier pick, who seems to be another swing player. To me, their starting five is going to be as good as anybody.
Are you more worried that if they get Howard, they're the new Miami Heat? You're one of the biggest Heat haters, and I think that if you bring
maybe
in Howard,
that's why.
That's
I think
the Miami
subconsciously, maybe that's why. And I hate everything that Howard, the fact that people try to defend him all the time, and oh no, he's really a good guy. He's misunderstood.
I defended him, and I feel like a jackass for it.
You can't defend him. No good person does what he's doing right now. He gets his coach fired.
I never said I was good,
and I still want to leave. And so now you're going to mortgage everything. If they do this, they got 3 first-round picks. They've already given a first-round pick, although it's lottery protected for John. Hopefully, they're making the playoffs. So they won't have a first pick next year. They would have picked till 2018 if this trade goes through.
I'll be dead by then.
There are no both of us. One of us will be gone. One of us might still be here. Oh, we'll be kicking. He'll come back and do a comeback show. But I don't know. I was thrilled about it because I knew once they got Joe Johnson, I said, I'm like, there's no way Darren Williams can't re-sign. Because the other team that was going after him, the Mavericks, you're saying, okay, what are the Mavericks that much better? He's going to pass up on $20 million more than no other team can offer.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's bailing from Dallas, right?
That's what I'm saying. Jason Terry's gone. Dirk Nowitzki's old. and you look at him and you say, why would he possibly pass up $25 million? It's not like there's a slam dunk to the Western Conference. You got great teams over there. The Lakers are always going to be good.
Yeah, it's not the same team. And they didn't look good against the Thunder. I didn't have much confidence in them. I mean, the one that was going ahead like the Dallas was, oh, it's his hometown.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, Grandma gets to see you play. Right?
Is that worth $25 million in an extra year? Like, they didn't. I said, once they got Joe Johnson, now, right now, with Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace, Brook Lopez, who's not a really – he's not a rebounding center, but he's a scorer. You can't deny it. A couple years ago. So, I'm super excited about their team this year. And I honestly, I know I'm in the minority when it comes to the 15 real Net fans out there. I don't want to go forward with what they got. And the idea that, okay, this team can't win a championship, that's ridiculous. This team has been awful the last 3 years. So why all of a sudden now suddenly it's just a mere 3 seed? And you see what happens in the playoffs. You don't see injuries.
Yeah, like,
if you get it off to LeBron James, you beat the Heat.
How much do you want in championship? I feel like if they get Howard, they're going to future doom. Like, okay, maybe you get the one championship. I don't see you getting multiple.
Out, and that was the headline. Everybody liked. He was like,
it's
oh.
The indecision.
Yeah, it's like this guy has become as unlikable, and LeBron's got to be his biggest supporter. He's just keeping it light. I love it. Keep doing it. Because now people aren't talking about me being a jerk. They're talking about you.
Can you actually have an hour special on ESPN where you just waffle back and forth?
Yeah. Maybe I'm going here. I really like Brooklyn.
I bet you.
But I've been to L.A., and I also love the Heat. Exciting time with the Nets, in the middle of the week. Sitting there in the back pages in New York, which is amazing.
Well, yeah, that's what Evan Roberts was saying this morning, that even during the finals, they didn't get the back page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is the kind of hype that's around, and I know the Knicks never will lose ground to the Nets as far as, like, the Knicks have a stranglehold.
Right now, I feel like the Nets are the team in New York.
You're saying right now, with all
right
the hype
now,
going on, like this,
absolutely. Absolutely. Without playing a game, they are the talk of the town.
Now, what do you make of it? And let me just go off topic. What do you make of the idea of the Nets possibly stealing some Knicks fans? I think there is some validity to it. I think the diehard Knicks fans will never like the Nets, but I think that the Knicks fans have a little bit of Yankee fan in there. Where there is, we have to like the Knicks because I'm from New York.
It's certainly not impossible. I mean,
you're not going to steal diehards, but you're going to steal the fringe fans, 100%.
Or you're going to steal the diehard that's just sick and tired of the organization continually messing things up.
See, I disagree there, and people were calling and saying you might. I, if you're a diehard fan, I mean, we've lived through the mess, and I've lived through the mess in the Jets, and I haven't jumped ship. And
yeah, but we're 21 years old.
Yeah, 21
and,
years young.
You know, fresh IDs out to the bars. But my grandfather, for example, longtime Yankees fan, he was best friends with Gil McDougall.
Yeah.
And then the 70s rolled around, the 80s rolled around, and the Yankees, other than that run from the 77 to 81, you know, he just got sick and tired of what was going on, and I don't think he had any trust in Steinbrenner, and so I think, in a way, he jumped ship to the Mets.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and as a guy that, you know, at that time, I think he was 60.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, we can't speak for it right now. Maybe we could get, an elder to come up and impart some wisdom. But
right.
I think that there comes a time when you're like, yo, the last time we won a championship,
mm-hmm.
I was just growing some facial
hair. Yeah, right.
So, I can totally see that happening where you get fed up.
Yeah.
You say to yourself, hey, I've invested so many years. And that's why I got to give props to, like, the Lions and Browns fans.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude.
Yeah,
you have something better to live for.
Yeah, there are a lot of other options out there, man. New York as a city is always interesting people. I mean, you walk around New York City, there's Alder County, live in Hoboken. How many people that you live around and you're built Hoboken are from Hoboken, New Jersey?
Right.
They're from all over. So you can steal fans. You know, we kind of are living in this little world where we think about sports all the time, but the average guy is just like a whatever kind of fan. I could see the Net at some point you know, they come to Brooklyn, they win a couple titles, stealing all of those extra fans, almost like the
it's guys that want to go to a packed house.
Yeah.
And they want to go see a name player, you know, and they want to see celebrities. You can't tell me there aren't going to be celebrities in Brooklyn.
You think Hov's going to have a whole front line? It's going to be everything. It's going to be crazy. I have not been as excited as this. Even I almost think I'm more excited now after they made that first finals. And I knew the next year, you know, they had a good team. And it was an exciting time. But they still, like Evan Roberts said, and you mentioned it, they weren't getting the back page. There just wasn't that buzz around them. Even though they were a great team, I think now it's just got that. I mean, obviously, all the makings of a miss the playoff type year, but I'm super excited about it, and you know, just
yeah, I thought you would be a little freaked out by the hype, and I thought that you might be a little skittish about it.
Not at all. I really am not.
You want the LA atmosphere.
I do. I like everything that's going on. I think basketball is different than other sports, and that they feed off that.
Yeah.
I do. It's a different basketball. The major sports. I think that lends itself to
like
that.
Like Kobe in that team, if they're not in Los Angeles, they don't win those games.
I agree. I think that. I don't think Paul Gasol goes out and plays as well. I mean, he was good before he got to L.A., but I think that they feed off all that. And I think that New York is a town that does love basketball, even though it's been a drought there, and mostly because of the Knicks. And the Nets were a non-factor. I mean, they were out in East Rutherford, and even when they were good, New Yorkers didn't identify with –
Well, the club scene in the swamps
is not right.
It's better than you think.
Yeah, that's right. They got the bada bing out there, which is good. But let's transition over to the Knicks. Now, wait a minute. Are you a Knicks fan? Nets fan? What would you associate yourself with?
You know, I mean, I've said this before. I'm not hugely into the NBA. I'll watch if something. You know, I'll admit it. I'm a bandwagon kind of guy. I said it before when in '94 when the Knicks made that run.
Yeah.
You know, and
but that was a likable team. The Knicks now are unlikable.
You know, I mean, I don't know that I hate Lynn. I don't know that I hate Landry Fields, even though he's gone now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the problem is that, you know, not who everyone thinks they are. Everyone wants them to be this next level team with Amari and Melo. You know, I don't think you guys have the right combination.
I agree.
And, you know, my gut instinct is I'm going to follow Landry to Toronto. And then they're going to be SOL. And they are
best friends because they're nerds.
They're nerds. But, I mean, you know, who hasn't done
so,
it?
So, talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk a little about Landry Fields. I mean, first of all, at first glance, is Toronto a little crazy to be offering him 3 years, $19 million?
Well,
it's not a ton of money. Everybody made a big deal. It's not a ton of money.
Everyone from soup to nuts said that they overpaid for Landry. But here's the thing that I don't understand. I'm hoping to get your insight on it. Is how is that Toronto blocking New York from getting Nash?
Yeah, I don't know. And
that, this is one of those chess, like, inner sports business management type things that I just cannot wrap my head around.
Which is why I hit a salary cap, because you have to sit there and be a business major to understand
so
why they make different moves.
So basically, what Toronto's doing is they're saying, hey, we're gonna call your bluff or something to that extent and say, you're not going to put the money up for Landry.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get Landry, but then we're also going to get Nash somehow.
Because, yeah, right.
Because
which has now freed up money for the Knicks to spend money on Nash. Yeah, I don't know. The offer that's floating around with Toronto offering Nash 3 years, $36 million is something that clearly the Knicks can't match. They just don't have the money under the cap. But even that seems unbelievable. I mean, he's in his late 30s, right? Like an extreme amount of money to give a guy.
Yeah, but as a hybrid Knicks Nets fan, which is like unheard of in the New York area, I think that, you know, anything's better than what they got going on right now.
Yeah.
Without Lynn.
Plus he's gonna
have Lynn there.
Yeah.
I think that the Nash move, they were saying if the Knicks sign Nash, that Lynn's just gonna sit back and be like, oh, that's how you dish. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like that seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Like it's either Lynn or Nash. I don't know that you can have both of those guys on the team.
I agree with you. You know, the Jeremy Lin situation, you know, he went out and met with the Rockets, and they're going to make him a decent offer.
Dallas,
they could,
too, right?
In Dallas. They could match, especially Dallas now. I mean, they've had a rough season with all the guys they thought they were going to get. But, you know, you look at Jeremy Lin, and the Knicks can match any offer because he's a restricted free agent. So do at this point, you lost Landry Fields, which I don't think is a huge thing. I mean, he's a role player. He's a good role player, but
yeah.
You've seen him crumble in big spots. But you can't deny the impact he's had in the 2 years he's been here. He has, at times, been a huge asset to them.
I honestly think that's a ploy to get Landry to go to Toronto.
You think so? But I think what I'm saying is, as a Knicks, you cannot lose Lynn, and I think that they're going to have to match any offer. I mean, they can't sit there and throw crazy amounts of money at him. And as Jeremy Lin goes...
Have you heard the figures that are being talked about with Lin?
No. What do we got?
We're talking... It was like $15 million in his third year. There were some ridiculous numbers being thrown out. $5 million, $5 million. $5 million first year, $5 million second year, $10 million third year, and possibly up to $15 million in the fourth year.
Which is silly.
The Knicks are not going to throw that out there.
But the thing is, don't forget about the way this stupid NBA salary cap is, how valuable big expiring contracts are. So maybe, and if he's not panning out and he's not what they think he's going to be, that then he becomes a valuable piece to include in a trade. Like, okay, we're going to give you an expiring contract. Maybe, you know, no matter what, when you make a trade, you have to make the numbers work. Plus, the expiring contract then become a chip. I know it seems crazy, but when that balloon is going to come and he's got the $15 million a year and if he isn't panning out, then maybe they use that, you know, I think that number does jump off the page at you. But I don't know I don't know. And I also don't understand the.
But that's also another reason to go back to the Nets, why I don't think that the Nets should go for Howard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, we're going to throw Lopez and Hump and like all these players at you. And then it's like, well, but Howard's contract isn't up,
yeah.
Right? And then you're going to have to try and re-sign him.
Yeah.
He's got 1 year left.
Yeah, well, he signed the player option for next year. He said he would sign an extension, but then you have to figure out how that money works. Plus, you're spending – the Wallace deal wasn't crazy. I think it was 4 years, $40 million. So that's not going to be – but, you know, they have
– Long story short, I don't want to be an accountant with the New York
– Yeah, right. Well, that's one of my arguments I always have with O when we talk about he's adamant about Major League Baseball needing a salary cap. And as a Met fan, you would think I would be in agreement because of the way the Yankees do it. I think the salary cap at some point, especially the NBA salary cap, the way it works, it ruins sports because exactly. I never understand. They're talking about the Knicks only have $3 million to spend, but then they're able to go do all these other things. I don't understand. I can't get my mind around it all, and it's silly. And then you're sitting there like, you know, you got a guy like Joe Johnson, very, very good player. But everybody hates him because he signed this crazy contract. Well, that's not his fault that they offered him that crazy contract, that maxed out 5-year deal. He's a very good player. He's a 6-time All-Star.
Yeah.
And I know our friend Paco, who's down here today, he's a big Hawks fan, always has been. He's a big Neek fan. And he was like, oh, you could have him. I hate him. And I was like, why? He goes, because of that terrible contract. But that's not a reason to hate him. It's not his fault. The guy's a 6-time All-Star, and he'll give you 22
hate
points
his
a game.
Agent.
Yeah, hate his agent. You should hate the Hawks option. And Danny Ferry. I see that was pre-Danny Ferry. But needless to say, you know, we'll move on to baseball.
Still hate on Danny Ferry. I don't care.
Yeah. I guess. So you're
right. Yeah.
He was unlikable in college, unlikable as a pro. But like I said, I'm super excited. If you would ask me flat out, I would say I don't want this Howard deal to go through, and I don't think it's going to go through. But then again, if you do have a starting line of Howard, they're going to have
you're going to the conference finals.
Yeah, but it depends. I mean, you're so when you have such a top heavy team like that, where your starting lineup is, you know, very good, but you have
and
guys
you have no depth.
You got no depth. You have Gerald Wallace, who's in his 30s. You got Dwight Howard's coming up back surgery, right? You got to worry
and a little bit about that.
Joe Johnson's 31.
And you're mortgaging your future.
Right.
No pressure on that.
You look at how great the Celtics big three were. They only won one championship, and you know it. When you're talking about an NBA roster where it's so top heavy and you know you're gonna need 40 minutes out of all your starters and you have guys that are in their coming off back surgery, that worries me. I'd rather have more pieces. And I'm telling you, Marshawn Brooks could be an all-star in this league. I like Marshawn Brooks. I think this guy could be an all-star in this league. And I like Hump. You get Hump and this guy Evans, and they're banging on the boards there, big guys. I think that the team that they have right now, and they still have pieces to add because they don't have a lot of guys resigned. They could be a contender, and you get into the NBA playoffs. Injuries happen. You never know. Maybe somebody knocks off the Heat. You never know what happens. You look at this year. Everybody liked the Bulls. They got knocked off in the first round by the 8 seed because they had a couple injuries. That's gonna happen. So
yeah,
I like the way it's constituted right now.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, I don't.
That's pretty deep.
I
don't know, man.
I hate to get real deep on you, but the moves that the Celtics have made, their draft is pretty.
Their draft was fantastic.
Draft was fantastic.
We could have a whole nother, and we don't really have time to go over this.
But I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah,
there,
their draft's fantastic. It looks like they're going to get Jason Terry, which means they're probably not going to re-sign Allen. But you know, Jason Terry is a big, big game player. Not to the extent of Robert Horry, but he is a big game player. He's the only thing that the Mavericks had going for them in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and he's got Jesus on his side.
He's got the Lord.
It's
something that you and I don't have.
I don't got any Lord. I'm all out of Lord.
All right, we're going to transition over. Now, before we even get into it, now you're in Norwalk. You're mingling with some of the Norwalk people.
Norwalk,
some of our fans. Now, I'll be honest about Norwalk. I mean, not a clicky type place, but it's a place that we like our own. You know what I'm saying? So
you can smell foreigners.
Right. You're not from here.
The outsiders.
We kind of say, oh, where's this guy from? And we accepted O to an extent.
Yeah.
But he lives here now, and when it was, you know, we became public that you were going to be taking over for O, I'll be honest, people were kind of there's a little trepidation there. Who's this guy? He's from New Jersey. Who, you know,
dark horse.
But I gotta tell you, you've been in great. They love you.
Yeah.
They love you here, which is not easy to do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I appreciate it.
The fans love you here, which is great, and I think that's gonna go a long way because although we have fans all throughout the tri-state area, I think you know, the base has always been Norwalk. We've done some live shows. We actually just got asked. You don't even know about this, but we're gonna be doing a live show from O'Neill's in August. The Norwalk High Alumni Association wants us there doing a live show.
I'll bring my bagpipe,
which we're very excited about. You bring your bagpipe, and then here you go. We're off and running. But let's transition over. Now, last week you did your All-Star picks.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be able to do that, which is fine. But I do think we need to talk.
What were your thoughts on our All-Star picks? The starters that we had.
Now, go through your starters again.
All right. On the AL side, I had A.J. Krasinski behind the dish. I had Bautista, Hamilton. I was going to go with Adam Jones in the outfield, but I think I went with someone else.
Yeah. Grandy?
No, not Grandy.
Okay. I'm a huge Adam Jones fan, by the way, but that's okay.
No. It was a last-minute decision. First base, I had Prince Fielder. I know they got off to a slow start. I went with him over Konerko.
Yep.
Even though Konerko's having a career.
I had Konerko as my guy at first. Okay.
I think I had Avilas at short, and that's because I hate Derek Jeter.
And no Elvis Andrews.
Elvis Andrews was JT's pick, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I went with, like, can you get on base and can you produce extra base hits?
Yeah.
Extra base hits.
He's got a little bit of, not to the extent of each, but he does have a little intro where, you know, his batting average and his on base percentage, there's not a huge difference, and he doesn't hit for power.
It's like,
but he's a great defensive shortstop, which is why I would put him there. Yeah.
Oh, I put absolutely zero investment in
All right, fair enough. Coming from a pitcher, that's surprising. But
I know. I had Starlin Castro starting for the Cubs.
Okay, yeah.
At short. So, you know, that's where my head was at. But, you know, I'm actually excited about this All-Star game. I think it's mostly because of R.A. Dickey. I think that for him to – I think he's going to get the nod, right?
I would think so. I don't think it's been made public, but I would think he's going to get the nod.
Why not? I mean, like –
it'd be impossible for him really not to. I mean, I'm talking about Matt Cain, but you look at R.A. Dickey's numbers. They blow Matt Cain's out of the waters. I mean, Matt Cain has the perfect game.
Not just from a number standpoint, but from just a story standpoint. Like,
I think
pretty sure everyone knows that.
Everyone in the country outside of San Francisco would want him. And I almost think – that this whole Pablo Sandoval thing puts the onus on La Russa. I got to know this guy. After how bad New York got screwed with the Pablo Sandoval thing, and I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, you have David Wright leading with a week to go. He's leading the vote by 475,000 votes. It's not even close. So I thought it was poor. I wasn't even following after. I'm like, okay, David Wright. I mean, of course he's the best short. I mean, the best third baseman in the National League this year. It's not even close. Sandoval's been hurt, and his numbers aren't even close to David Wright. And then they go on this huge push, and people are online bragging about, I voted for Pablo Sandoval 468 times. I voted for this. And it becomes a joke. And now all of a sudden he comes and makes late charge, and he's starting over David Wright, which is a joke. I think you give Pablo Sandoval one at-bat, and you let David Wright go the rest of the game, to be honest with you.
Plus, I want to go out on a limb and say that David Wright has never tripped going around the bases.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pablo Sandoval almost ate a base.
Yeah, big Kung Fu Panda. But I'll give credit, and we talked about a little bit off the air. So I followed Sandy Alderson. This guy's got 38 tweets to his name, and 30
every one of them are solid.
Yeah,
goals.
I mean, we're talking about percentage-wise, he's the best tweeter in the league.
Yeah, he's batting 1,000.
This guy's unbelievable. makes fun of the Mets money situation, but he goes out and says, I guess, you know, a cool nickname like Kung Fu Panda wins out over talent, or says something like that. Then he talks about, you know, how could a city of 800,000 outvote?
We gotta host a contest for David Wright. We gotta get him a nickname.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta get a cool nickname, some sort of Disney character. Apparently, those go over well. But you know, he got hosed. But you know, every year, and I'm not saying I'm gonna be, you know, watch every pitch of the All-Star game, but clearly of the four major sports, Major League Baseball is the only watchable All-Star game.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, the baseball is still the baseball. Pitchers are still trying to get guys out.
Yeah.
There's not that, you know, the football's a joke, basketball's a joke, hockey, I don't watch regular season hockey, let alone, I didn't watch the Stanley Cup, I'm not watching, you know, I don't care how they pick the team, whether it's a Sandlot way of picking it or whatever. But baseball is one, and obviously the Home Run Derby, you know, I used to be all into the slam dunk contest, now I don't even watch that, because it's just, you know, what are you going to do? But the Home Run Derby's exciting. You know, I do look forward to the All-Star game. I think it's exciting. My question to you is, now the whole idea behind the All-Star game determining the home field advantage, because it shouldn't have gone, you know, used to just alternate. The whole argument was it couldn't be best record because, you know, they're two separate leagues. So maybe it's harder to win the most games in the American League as opposed to, you know. But now that next year it's going to be a completely level schedule, there's going to be an interleague game every day. Can't you now make the argument that, yeah, it should be best record? Because you're going to be playing an interleague game every day. I mean, can we now get rid of the idea? It's not going to lessen the viewership. It's not going to lessen my interest in the All-Star game, I don't think.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're an All-Star from, you know, the Royals.
Yeah.
Some team that is just atrocious.
Yeah.
Are you really going in there and you're going to bowl over the catcher? Semi-meaningless game because you want your league to get like
no
home
shot.
Field, home field
I don't even think it really crosses their mind. I honestly think in baseball, you don't want to embarrass yourself when you're up at the plate.
I don't
plate,
think anyone on that field is thinking about that.
No, and you're still not cleating anybody. I think that when you're up at bat, you're trying to get a hit no matter. Like if you're taking it seriously because you're not embarrassing yourself. You don't want to embarrass yourself as a pitcher. You want to make your pitches. The only difference is how you manage the game a little bit. I understand that. You think you have some sort of, you have the responsibility to do it now that the game means something, which I
but
get.
But the two managers are last year's World Series winners, right?
Yeah, and so one of them is not even in the major league.
Contention, right?
Well, one of them's not in the major league.
Not
Tony La Russa
is right.
Not even in the major league.
So it's like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I just think that now you could honestly say, okay, now it should just be best record. You're going to be playing the game all the time. You know, most sports do that way. It's like, you know, that should be the home field advantage. But we go back to the whole All-Star weekend, even though it's during the weekend, you know, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you look at the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby is still an exciting time, and it's even more exciting time for me. Now, I'm sure you heard the interview we had with Pete Tucci, who owns Tucci Lumber. He now has Robinson Cano signed on. Robbie Cano hit a home run Sunday night against, forgot who they were playing, but it was an absolute bomb with a Tucci Lumber bat. And he will be now using Tucci Lumber in this Home Run Derby. For me, it's almost surreal. I mean, I've known Pete since he's older than me, but I've watched him play growing up, and then I played softball with him. I played hardball with him after. So it's kind of surreal. I mean, he's going to be using Tucci Lumber bat in the Home Run Derby. It's kinda, you know, he made special bats for him. So I'm super excited for Pete. I think it's a huge opportunity for him. I love the Home Run Derby because it's so pure. And the idea that it screws up your swing, those are
people. Are you a fan of, because I don't know, Chris Berman, very polarizing figure. People either love him or hate him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you're not a fan. But
I used to be, but I can't stand him anymore.
I just like when someone like Josh Hamilton or Robbie Cano hit a bomb. He's just like, he basically has an orgasm.
Yeah, this guy, he has multiple orgasms. Yeah. He has that ability, which all guys wish we had.
Well, speak for yourself.
I mean, Nealers has it.
A lot of practice.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are moments when that little run that Hamilton went on 4 years ago, whatever it was, the way nobody could have called it as well as Berman called that. And it made it just one of those moments you're always going to remember. You're never going to get that in a slam dunk contest or a shootout.
Right,
or hockey.
Right, right.
Like, that's what makes the Home Run Derby different.
Because it feels like you're witnessing an event. Like,
it's like
something's changing.
Yeah.
Life is changing.
It's just amazing. And it's his old high school coach up there. Like, Robinson Cano has his dad pitch to him.
It's awesome.
You know? And the idea
Who would you have pitched to you if you were in the Home Run Derby?
Coach Babb.
Really?
Coach Pfaff, and I'd let him throw mix because I owned his mix. Our college coach used to love, he used to think that he had this snappy curveball he would snap off to you. I owned Coach Pfaff in BC. I would have Coach Pfaff do it because he could just pump strike.
Exactly.
Except for the time his hands would get so sweaty the ball would slip out of his hand. But I would have the Pfaff come do it because it's a cool story. But the idea, this argument that it screws up your swing, to me is really, really silly. Because when you anybody that's played baseball at a higher level and has taken BP, there are times you try to hit home runs. You do kind of have to practice home runs. It's the truth. And you ask anybody, Kevin Long talks about it, that they have a drill.
It's situational hitting.
Yeah, you do have you sit there your first round, you want to go the other way, you want to go up the middle. There is a point in your round of BP where you're driving the ball.
You need a fly ball. You need a fly ball to get a sacrifice fly.
It's not – these guys, you don't understand, these guys take – hundreds of swings every day, whether it's off the tee, whether it's in BP, all this stuff. The idea that this one round is going to screw him up, and I know, oh, look at what happened to David Wright when he was in it a few years ago, and Bobby Abreu, I had nothing to do with it. It's a myth. It's like the Madden cover myth. It's a myth, and anybody that played...
That's real, though.
That's why I'm happy you're never going to see the Jets on there, and I don't think you will. But that's just a myth. It's a joke. It's somebody that's, it's something that Mike Francesa would say. Somebody that's never played organized sports in their life and never taken a meaningful round of batting practice. When you are taking batting practice, you're not trying to hit home run every time, but there is a point in your round where you're trying to drive the ball.
Yeah, you're not swinging the same way every swing.
No.
You're definitely...
So you're working on home runs. You ask anybody. There's a round. You look at anybody. You ask any major leaguer, they do that. It's other than, maybe Ruben Tejada probably doesn't have a home run round in him.
So, you go up to the plate, 4-1, bases loaded.
Yeah.
What's in your mind?
Yeah, you're looking for pitch to hit over the fence, 100%. And you're trusting the fact that you've taken BP rounds and you know what your pitch is. I mean, you're doing that early in the count. You're not doing that 0-2.
Right.
But there is, when you're early in the count, you're saying, my job here is to drive the ball over the fence.
It's a match.
It's exactly right. And any power hitter... And all these guys are power hitters. They have the same approach. It's the idea, and I think that Bautista has that approach every time. He's got a slow pitch softball swing. I mean, that guy. I think that his approach, that is his swing. So some of these guys are ridiculous. But I'm excited about the home run derby. I'm excited about the All Star game, especially because of Dickey starting. I'm going to watch every pitch Dickey has.
Oh, definitely.
It's a huge moment. It's a huge story.
I got a catheter.
It would be it. I'm taking the day off the next day. But it's a great story. When you talk about, the old timers that talk about the nostalgia of what the All-Star game used to be, and it was basically because you didn't get to see a lot of them. Not with ESPN or the baseball package. You get to see all these guys play all the time. But it's still, this will be that kind of story that is worth it. This guy's a 37-year-old journeyman, gets drafted high, finds out he doesn't have some sort of ligament in his elbow that most people are born with. He just wasn't born with that elbow, that part of his elbow. And then Buck Showalter tells him he needs to learn a knuckleball, blah, blah, blah. It's a crazy story. And now he's just having a ridiculous season. This is what the All-Star game's about. It's about those kind of stories. It would be a disservice for baseball. I'm not just saying Mets fan to have Matt Cain do it. I know Matt Cain had his perfect game, which was a beautiful moment, but he's going to have plenty of opportunities to start an All-Star game. I don't know. The only thing you wonder, possibly with the game meaning something, and you have a knuckleballer who can give you a million innings if you needed it, do they save him with the mindset of, we know we can have him? Would La Russa possibly do that?
That
would be ridiculous. Exactly. It'd be ridiculous. That's the only thing you could possibly...
Here's my hope. Chipper Jones gets up in a situation where he needs to come through. And not only does he strike out swinging, but he actually digs himself into the ground with his swing and goes to China.
Bugs Bunny style, like a Looney Tunes
Tasmanian devil, straight to China.
Straight down, and we never hear from him again. In like 20 years from now,
right?
You'd be like...
I know you're a Chipper Jones fan, by the way. Everyone needs to know that.
Listen, I didn't say I was a fan of his. I said there were guys that people liked that I kind of like. I kind of appreciate him. I'm not a fan. I will be rooting against him till the day he retires or spins himself into China. But I mean that was a weak moment on your part. That was a bourbon and lemonade talking. All the stuff. I love you, man.
You named the kid Shay, the best friend.
I respect that.
He could have named him Turner, but he didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I'll be rooting against him. I'll be rooting against all the Phillies.
Sure you will. Your fingers crossed.
Come on, Chipper. Do it for
Schrader.
Me. Schrader. all right, well, let's transition over. We don't have a say what this week, obviously, because Tony's not here. But we do have the new segment. Now, is it just stuff Neil wants to talk about? What do we call it?
Well, we called it Neil's Got a Lot of Stuff.
But Neil, you do have a lot of stuff.
You have a lot of issues.
Which I like. So why don't you give us Neil's got a lot of stuff. What do you got for us?
All right. First and foremost, Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah.
Vaunted NFL cornerback, D-back.
Yeah.
Journeyman, if you will.
Yeah, at this point, he's kind of he's seen his fair share of cities in this great nation.
He has a reputation for making it rain.
Yeah. Sure does.
Sure
he
does.
He dropped $90,000 and asked for the money back or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, that is a drop in the bucket because my man spent $1 million in one weekend.
Doing what? What does he have $1 million? I had not heard this story.
I don't know. But according to...
he spent $1 million in a weekend.
According to thebiglead.com, Colby Fleener was at the rookie symposium.
Yeah.
They had it last week.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember it. And Vic spoke and he spoke, yeah.
Yeah, Terrell Owens was there.
Fair
enough. Pac-Man dropped this bomb on everyone, and Terrell goes, man, you're crazy. When you have Terrell Owens calling you crazy, you need to rethink your life.
Say what again.
No defense.
Say what again. I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker.
No paper
but just
trail.
Wrap your head around that for a second.
You know, I have a friend of mine I played high school football with who played strong safety at West Virginia with Pac-Man. And he was a good friend of mine. I mean, we used to go to football practice together every time, and he went and played he started in the secondary with him. And I asked him after he started really getting crazy. I saw him. I said, Lawrence, his name is Lawrence Audina. I said, Lawrence, what's up with Pac-Man Jones? He just goes, that dude's crazy. He goes, he's the best dude. He's fun to hang out with. That dude is crazy.
We tried to do the math on this, right? And we're thinking, okay. I wrote about this on the website, trisportsguys.com.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver, he went to a club. He spent $10,000 in 17 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you were in the mix, if you will,
yeah.
You went to a club, how long would you spend there? 3-5 hours?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're going to, I would say 2 to 3 hours minimum, yeah.
So you extrapolate DeSean Jackson's spending spree. He doesn't even come up to half of what Pac-Man Jones spent in a weekend. Like, if you were to say, hey, DeSean, go buck wild for a
that's
weekend.
That's like that. What's that move? Brewster's Millions, where the guy has
Brewster's
to
Millions. Yeah, Pac-Man Jones.
In his mind, he played a little game. He goes, I'm going to do Brewster's Millions weekend.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't get the inheritance.
I can't have any assets afterwards.
I didn't get the inheritance.
I didn't get it, man. All right, what else you got, Neil?
All right, we got, all right, you're a starting quarterback in the NFL. You're a young, handsome man.
That's what I dream about every night.
Every night.
I had an arm, Neil.
Now they bring in another quarterback, and they're like, well, he's a backup, right? And he's one of the most popular people on the face of the planet.
Did they bring in a backup for Eli Manning? Who are we talking about here? Okay.
New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez is now reportedly dating Eva Longoria.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
She's old.
She's 39.
She's 39, he's 24.
24.
Which is good. That's double the age of the typical woman.
No, that's
like,
triple. Oh, no, double. No, you're double. I'm not good at math.
He's not 13-year-old now. But, yeah, so, you know, it's double the age of the girl he normally likes to bring home. I have heard mixed results. I've heard people that have seen her, and they say that in person she's not overly pretty. She's actually like a, makeup type girl. But, God
bless her. We call that Pimp My Ride Hot.
So you're asking me, do you think that maybe some of that has to do with he wants to date the celebrity? Or you just want
just
no
saying,
overall
just,
thoughts?
I'm
is that going to be a distraction?
I'm just like, okay, yeah, let's talk about distractions. Like, you're going into a season where you're going to have a load of distractions.
Yeah.
Do you really need
You need a desperate housewife who was married to Tony Parker and a publicized divorce.
Publicized divorce.
And is, I think.
I would rather him date like a Denny's waitress. 100%.
Some hot, down on her luck. Denny's waitress.
Low self-esteem.
Yeah, like the guy from Catch Me If You Can, who dated the girl with the braces. Like just some girl, remember where that girl
and just I like, would marry that girl in a heartbeat.
One second.
Only because I want to throw money all over her bed and be like, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here.
Something like to that extent. Like,
are you kidding me? I'm so glad you brought that up. That's like one. That's like on my bucket list.
I want to
see her braces shining at me as I walk out the window with money. flowing everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you got my mind
so,
all wrapped around that.
So I would rather see the Sanchez dating a girl like that than David Nivelungor. I think it's a terrible life decision, for one. How are you gonna be a 24, 25-year-old single guy in New York and marry a 39 or date a 39-year-old divorcee who has no career? I mean, what is she, just L'Oreal commercials? That's a terrible decision. I mean, this guy can get any girl. It was Kate Upton or whatever at one point, right? I mean, that she doesn't know the Kale of Kate Upton.
Just wear Kate Upton out.
Be awkward about it. Follow her around.
Make
so
Kate Upton Eva Longoria.
Yeah, exactly. Do the whole thing. The circle. What else you got?
AshleyMadison.com. Are you aware of this website?
Sure. They advertise it all the time. Yeah, I'm sure. On XM Radio, they really push the Ashley Madison. Yeah, it's for married people who want to.
Watch
I'm not aware of it personally. I don't have an account.
Yeah. Well, a free account. You can browse.
I just browse. I mean, what if a girl wants to party, why not?
So, website where you know, they encourage you to cheat. They had a survey. They asked more than 13,000 women which athletes they would like to cheat with.
How about 13,000 women? Even, and I'm sure it's more than that, are members of this site that cheat on your husband. But keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a drop in the bucket, but at the same time, like, you know, come on. Was his Valentine's Day get that bad? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Dude, he didn't know. The teddy bear was cute.
Which athletes they would like to cheat with on, you know, cheat on their spouse with. And number one was David Beckham.
Yeah.
He got a whopping 43.1%. Number two was Tim Tebow.
That's just weird. You got a group
Are
of people.
Are you an idiot?
You got a group of people who are looking to cheat on their spouse, and they want to do it with a virgin.
And they want to do it with a guy who's just, like, in bed with Christ already. Like, you want a three-way with Christ. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Go ahead, have that. Yeah, that's a good way to ruin a marriage. Okay. And who's number three?
Number three is Tom Brady, which had a lot of Pats fans up in arms.
Oh, yeah?
Because you have Tom Brady, who's knocked down and bunned up two girls.
Yeah.
Bunned up is my way of saying impregnated. Giselle Bundchen and the other one.
Yeah, the other one was
Monahan,
or whatever, yeah.
You have Tom Brady, who is just popping out pretty babies left and right.
Yeah.
And you have Tebow, who's sitting there with a chastity belt on. And they would rather cheat on their spouse with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, it's bizarre. That's a bizarre thing. But anyone that's on Ashley Madison is a bizarre person. They have weird, kinky things. They want to break down the young... I'm not gonna say homosexual, but there's a chance that Tim Tebow's homosexual. I don't know. I mean, I'm clearly a virgin.
I mean, I don't want to get sued for libel or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure he has a dungeon.
Hey, we're not confirming it or denying it.
We're not confirming
it.
Denying, but we're saying he has a dungeon. Number four and five, Jeter and A-Rod.
I could see that. Girls like that. I mean, I would have said Beckham doesn't surprise me. Obviously, Brady, none of those guys surprise me. But A-Rod will slightly surprise, I mean, other than Tebow, obviously, does. Jeter, I don't know a lot of girls that talk about A-Rod. Do you? I hear Jeter and Brady. And
I think they go with Jeter because he's got that service after you hook up with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Where
you get a to-go package.
You get the laundry packet. They fold it up for you. You get a fruit basket.
The firework display is now starting, which I'm very excited about.
And it's like, A-Rod, step up your game, dude. What are you offering these ladies?
Yeah,
post hookup.
What are you doing? You have $500 million.
Hey,
invested.
have this cream, it could make you stronger.
You have $500 million. If Pac-Man Jones could drop $1 million in a weekend, you could drop $1 million on a date.
Drop $1 million on a fruit basket.
Fruit basket, that's a lot of fruit. Yeah. What else you got? Anything else?
All right, so you're a father.
I am.
Of one.
Hey, she's adorable. You spent the day with her.
J-Mo, she's great.
Who's cuter than Jameson? Not many.
She's great. I've already submitted my vote for her for prom queen. They got it on lockdown over
they
there.
They got she's locked up.
But a 17-year-old high school chick ran onto the field during the College World Series squeezing butts.
Just butt squeezing.
Butt squeezing. Now, you're her father.
Yeah.
WWMDD, what would Michael DePalma do?
That is a...
17 years old.
You're not going to
now,
win.
Think about what you did at 17. I know what I was doing at 17. Vegas,
yeah, oh yeah. You know what I was eating? A lot of Doritos.
Yeah.
I was into a big bag of Cool Ranch and just trying to beat maybe Mario 64.
Yeah.
Just trying to work my way through Zelda 64.
Trying to get that top score.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do work. I'm just trying to lead the Jets to the Super Bowl in Madden 97, dude. But yeah, that's I'm gonna tell you right now, that is you're no longer going away to college.
Nope.
That's not out of the option. You're living at home during college.
Yeah.
Cell phone is socks at the bottom of my shoe. That's a fact.
You want to call? You need to lift my leg up.
Yeah, you got to lift up the size 12, sweetie, and you got that's where you're going to hear your little boyfriend. Yeah, that's absolutely unacceptable. You know what? I bet you this guy's dad thought it, this girl's dad thought it was cool or whatever. For some 17-year-old to do that, they've got that's not going to happen in my house. I'll get the wooden spoon out, old school Italian style. She's getting it right over the 17-year-old coach. The pocky pot.
Now,
yeah.
Time out.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like all Italians have this.
Yeah.
The grandmother, the great-grandmother, with the, like, you want to act up, dude? You're going to get a wooden spoon, but it's got a name for it.
It was the pocky pot.
Mine was the baka baka stick.
The baka baka stick.
And great-great would come and she'd be like, oh, baka baka. And I'd be like, all right, great-great, I got it. I'm chill.
My brother at one point broke, what's that? My brother at one point broke every wooden spoon in our house when I was like...
That's a great move.
He went...
That's a great
this
move.
This was not even when he was in trouble. He was just scheming something.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to do something.
Nobody's in the kitchen. These things are unprotected. It's like leaving your gun case unlocked. And he just broke every single wooden spoon in the house. And then it was like, what happened to all our wooden spoons? J-Bus was really...
And then you and your bro just went on a crime spree.
Oh, my God. It was crazy. I had ketchup on the wall. Everything said Mike Bo all over the house.
So in tandem with that, Bryce Harper is a good-looking dude, Washington Nationals rookie, 19 years old. He's dominating the media. Not as good as Mike Trout, but he's dominating the media.
Yeah.
A lot of people fascinated with him, especially 16 and 17-year-olds.
Yo, is that right?
16 and 17-year-olds, which, you know, he's 19.
Right.
That's not completely out of his realm.
In most states, that's okay. Down south, you go south in a major position, that's encouraged.
But, I mean, some graphic stuff going on between 16 and 17-year-olds. So
is that right?
Graphic.
Ooh, fine.
I swear, it's in the chicken. It's the hormones in the chicken.
Yeah.
So watch yourself, Bryce Harper. You never know how the media is going to twist it on that one.
Yeah.
Donovan McNabb said there's an 80 to 90% chance he'll play next season.
In
Canada?
Touch football, no. We got a couple good
Tech
leagues.
Mobile.
I mean, who wants him? I don't know. What role, what capacity? And he said he sees himself a starter after the season he gave that interview. There's clearly nobody's going to give him a starter role or even compete for a starter role. Other than maybe
I think Campbell,
Denver backing up.
I think Campbell's Soup is now going to start a football game.
Yeah, we got this Campbell's Soup thing. It's like the Bud Bowl from the 80s.
The baby stew. Job. That's pretty much all I had. The last one I wanted to finish off on, Aaron Andrews signing with Fox Sports.
Jeez, this is the second Aaron Andrews mentioned in the last 4 weeks, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with EA.
Yeah.
Apparently, she cried outside the hotel room when she learned ESPN didn't want to re-sign her.
Oh, is that what happened? She didn't even get re-signed?
They did not offer her a renewal.
I mean, here's the thing about Aaron Andrews. She's pretty, but she's not that pretty. She's pretty for her role. Like, you know what I mean? It's like she's pretty for
There are Spanish soccer reporters who are face melters.
Well, the girl, Inez Sainz or whatever, Jeff tried to molest or whatever they tried to do at the camp. She's unbelievable. For her role, she's way hotter than Aaron Andrews. Even there's hotter girls than her. So Aaron Andrews is very pretty, but not so pretty.
What does she bring to the table?
That her lack of talent or lack of anything. I mean, exactly.
What's her timetable?
I think she's got a Tiki Barber-like timetable, to be honest with you. I think the clock is...
She's going to retire and come back in 5 years and be like, hey, guys.
Hey, here I am.
I can commentate again.
I'm back. I want to commentate. Yeah, I could see her being out of the mix. She's going to be on Spike or FX by 2015, is my guess.
Is Versus still a network?
Versus. It's got Aaron Andrews written all over it, man. All right. Well, I love that segment. I mean, still no Say What. I'm going to give you one of these quick.
Say what again. Quick Daniel L.
As he gets machine gun to death.
as we got the fireworks show beginning in the background again, round two. We're going to transition over to the top 10, everybody's favorite topic. This one came from my dad. Now, he's up from Florida. We're sharing a cocktail the other night, and he's like, you got a top 10 for this week. I said, you know, Dad, actually, we don't have a top 10. I said, you got any ideas? And he says, well, actually, I do. How about top 10 best current players that we think will still fall short of the Hall of Fame, which was actually tough because a lot of these guys are guys that if I was a voter, I would vote into the Hall of Fame. But knowing these idiot voters who just have these crazy, you know, you got to hit this milestone, you got to do this, and this gets you in, and you can't get the first ballot, and blah, 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 blah. You look at, like, Jim Rice taking forever and ever. You know, these are guys that I really like, but I don't think that the voters are going to agree with me on. Some of these guys I wouldn't vote for, but I think, that, you know, as we get towards the 3-2-1, these are guys that I think we can get in. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Number 10, I got Scott Rowland. Scott Rowland, I know you clearly don't like anything about defense. You've already said you don't even consider it, but this guy's a multiple gold glover at third base. He's got, I believe, over 300 home runs. I mean, this is a guy who in the 80s would have been, if you put those kind of numbers in that kind of defense in the 70s or 80s, was a clear Hall of Famer. But in the era he played in, I know injuries kind of hurt his career later on. I wouldn't vote for him for Hall of Fame. But when you look back at Scott Rowland and you look at the third baseman during the 15 years he's been in the Major League, he's in the top five. He's that good. You don't like Scott Rowland? You don't think about what he's done in the last 3 years.
I hate Scott Rowland.
How could you hate Scott? What would you hate about Scott Rowland?
I'm a Mets fan. Are you crazy?
Well, he hasn't played for the Phillies in how many years? 4 years?
He went to the Cardinals.
Scott Rowland now plays for the Reds.
I know, but he did.
He played for the Cardinals.
During the
NLCS?
Are you crazy?
I don't like him.
I know.
I'm not a fan of his, but you can't get to respect that he's a good third baseman and a good hitter.
No, I don't have to respect. I don't respect Richard Nixon with that guy. Are you kidding me? No, I mean, he's number 10 on my list as well. So.
He is. Yeah. and by the way, he's number 10 on my list. Number 9 is where I put Carlos Beltran. You don't have Carlos Beltran.
You better not be cheating, dude.
Carlos Beltran.
You saw me writing. That's
Carlos Beltran is my number 9. You look at Mets, I still believe he's the best free agent signing in Mets history. They've made some decent trades for Piazza and this and that, but as far as a free agent signing, he put together 3 years that really no Mets ever done offense.
You're going to put him over Johan?
Johan was via trade. Remember, they traded Philip Umber, Carlos Gomez. They traded a couple of guys. He was not enough to sign. This is a straight free agent signing. He was, I think, the best. Johan's one of the better trades they've ever had. Beltran, I just think he's a guy who's going to be under, even this year, you know. He had injuries. He had that one really down year this year as a Met, and Mets fans never forgave them. Then the next year he had the big strikeout, even though he got them to Game 7 with his great play. He's somebody that's just never been appreciated, and the Mets tend to do that. People just bury your spirits.
I don't know. He had that one good year. He's having another great year.
He had 3 straight seasons, over 100 RBIs, over 30 home runs. You don't get that in Queens very often. So, I mean, you put up his 3 numbers, you put him up there with Strawberry and all those guys as far as a 3-year window of being great. And then last year he gave you a half a great year, and in return we have a potential ace in this guy, you know, Wheelers they love. So, I think he's a guy, he's definitely not going to make the Hall of Fame, but he's a great guy in this generation. Number 8, I got Lance Berkman, and he could probably be higher.
Ooh.
You get him higher?
He almost made the cut.
Lance Berkman is a guy, another one that's just underappreciated. He had a couple really good years early on with Houston.
So that's you, that's basically, so everyone knows at home, that's you saying that he should make the Hall of Fame.
I don't know that I would vote for Lance Berkman for the Hall of Fame. He would be a bubble guy for me. Because
definitely take Berkman over Rowland.
Oh yeah, Berkman higher on my list. And I would say if Lance Berkman became a Hall of Famer, it would not surprise me. That's how good I think he is. And he put up some great numbers. Home run numbers, batting average numbers. Injuries have hurt him. But I'm a huge Lance Berkman fan. Number 7 is where I got Michael Young. Michael Young is a 200-hit-a-year machine. And even last year at age 36, he had another fantastic season. He's moved around. He's a shortstop. Now he plays third base, first base, second base. He moves all around, DHs. He's just, he's a fantastic hitter. He's got well over 2,000 hits. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame. He's not going to hit those milestones. you look at 200 hit seasons, it shouldn't be something you could just sneeze at. He's done it several times. And at a position at infield, most of his career at shortstop, you know, if he played in New York, I think he'd be a Hall of Famer. That's
Definitely.
I think that would be how he would be. Did he make your list or no?
He did make the cut.
He was
in my alternate.
Now, from judging by your comment earlier, I think you might have him higher, or you might even think he might be a Hall of Famer. But I got Johan at number six. Johan, I think, is going to fall short because he's never going to hit any of those milestones that we've been talking about. But his dominance during the 2000s is as good as –
You're quitting on him now?
I think it's going to be too late for him to hit any of the milestones.
You're quitting on him?
He's got 160 wins. What's he going to get to at bet? 220
wins.
I'm just saying. I think he's a Hall of Famer. But that's how
BS category.
100%, I agree with you. I'm just telling you, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. But I think he should. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Outrageous.
The guy.
He
was the best left hander.
3 to 5 more years.
Yeah. At what? You're going to give him 15 wins a season, which will get him 45 to.
Yeah, but you keep
70.
Harping on wins.
I'm talking about what a Hall of Fame voter thinks about. That's exact. They're not going to vote a guy in with 200 wins. With 200 wins and not any kind of like crazy other number, they're not going to put them in. Name a starter other than Sandy Koufax. He's not Sandy Koufax. But he was that good in the 2000s. I had the argument that I would vote for him online.
I would definitely vote for him. I mean, it seems so outrageous that wins are the determinant for.
It is.
The Hall
it's silly, which I think that most. Hall of Fame voters are ridiculous with their numbers and this gets you in. And they're talking about Omar Vizquel because he's got 2,800 hits, going to make the Hall of Fame, but Johan Santana's not going to make the Hall of Fame. They're talking about if Johnny
Damon. By the way, Omar Vizquel almost made my list.
But I think he's going to get in. That's why I didn't put him on.
Which is horrible because it's just like, oh, great, you've played 2 decades.
You've played 2 decades. He's a great shortstop.
You're bound to hit milestones when you play in the friggin' league for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason I didn't put him on is because I genuinely think he's going to get in. Number five, and you can be surprised I have him this high. I got Alfonso Soriano. This guy is going to finish his career well over 400 home runs.
Yep.
He's going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,300, 1,400 RBI. He played the first half of his career at second base in a big market where he was doing it, you know, and he's a 40-40 guy. He's done 40-40. Obviously, he's a shell himself. Nobody's still hitting home runs. You know, when our kids are looking back and they're going to say, this guy played second base. He's got 400-something home runs, 1,400 RBI. He was a 40-40 guy, and he's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but there's no way he's going to be a Hall of Famer, I don't think, because he was such a defensive liability in the era he played in. There's going to be a lot of guys that have 400 home runs. But it's amazing when you look at his numbers, how good Alfonso Soriano is, how underappreciated he is. He didn't make your list from the look of you.
No, well, you can see I crossed him off, but he was in consideration.
He's in the mix. Number four, I got Andy Pettit. I wrote an article for the site early on about that. I thought Andy Pettit was a Hall of Famer. I liked him that much again, we talked about the wins and how much that means. He is a winner. He's never going to get the 300 wins, but he was a big time pitcher. You know, being a New York sports fan, you saw a lot of him. He came up in big games. He was a bubble guy anyway, but once the HGH thing came out, there's no way he's going to make it. But he's still one of the better lefties of this era and more consistent guys. That's the only reason I'm ahead of Johan. Johan clearly had better stuff and at his best was light years ahead of Andy Pettit at his best. But the longevity and the fact
that's why it's crazy to me that you think that you're putting them in the same kind of category.
Why? I mean, they're two guys that have been – there were great pitchers that are not going to make the Hall of Fame, and it's a shame.
Johan is – like, I know I'm partial, but, like, way better than Andy
Listen,
Pettit. Andy Pettit never dominated a game. He kept opponents in check. I don't know that he ever dominated a game.
He's got several top 10 Cy Young appearances.
If you look at the active pitchers, the stats, Johan is besting Pettit in every category.
Every category. He just doesn't have the overall
say, like,
career numbers.
And you can say, like, overall, okay, he hasn't pitched many years, but I guarantee that Johan's going to continue to – you look at what he's done, he's lost, like, 5 miles per hour on his fastball, and he's still putting up numbers that are comparable to what he was doing with the Twins.
There's a guy, DJ Zulo, he's a producer for the Mad Dog Radio. He's producer for the middle, whatever, the midday show, but it comes out before. He's from Norwalk, friends of him on Facebook. He actually posed the question to me, Bruce Murray, who's the guy, the host that he works for, A couple other guys on Mad Dog Station. After the no-hitter, he said, you know, I think he's a Hall of Famer. What do you think? And I said, I completely agree with you. I thought I was the only one that thought he was a Hall of Famer. These guys laughed at us. Laughed at us. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Are you kidding me? Who's next? That's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you. I have a different criteria. They thought you don't understand that you and I are in the minority with how great we think Johan Santana is and his place in baseball history. I think when you look at it, his ERA during the steroid era there in the American League, his ERA well on, like, you know, the low twos, whip under one, more than a strikeout per inning. It was crazy, but he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. It sucks. I'm just telling you, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. Number three, I got Andrew Jones. He's a guy, million gold gloves, crazy amount of home runs. You know, he got super, super fat late in his career, which really hurt him. But, I mean, he was as good as a center fielder.
You didn't see him run down to first base today.
No, I did not catch that.
He hit a ground ball, and the Tampa Bay Rays shortstop stopped him. And the whole time he's looking at the play, instead of running to first base with his head down, he's looking at the play. And it took him, like, no less than 200 yards to finally stop after, you know, like, you got that run.
Yeah.
It's an intense run. I got to, like, pace out. And then he just calmly walks back. He couldn't even turn. He's so old, he couldn't turn and walk back to the base.
And he's not even that old. He's, like, 35.
He's 35. And he walked back to the base like this, backwards. He couldn't even turn around and walk to the base.
He didn't have the energy, dude. But I've always, you know.
It's a white woman. The white woman wear you out.
They wear you out, honey. Number two, I got Paul Konerko. I think it's going to be a shame that he's not going to get in. My last two guys are guys that I think are no doubt Hall of Famers, but I just have this feeling they're not going to be Hall of Famers. And Paul Konerko is one of them. He's a guy that's going to have 500 home runs. He's a guy that's going to have a career average of around 280, 290. You know, just production year after year after year. He was my starting first baseman in the All-Star game that I voted for. Do you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer? Did he make your list, or do you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer? Or do you not even say, you think I'm over-exaggerating how great he is? He's a guy that nobody ever talks about.
I honestly do think he's going to make the Hall of Fame. I just, you know, I was looking at, you know, there were four or five main categories that I looked at, and it was all active players. It was OPS, it was home runs, it was runs created, runs scored.
Yeah.
And I think there was also stolen base in there, which I don't think I should consider. But
yeah.
And Konerko was in, you know, the top 25, 50 of each category, which, you know, what more could you ask for out of that position? And I still think he's a first baseman. It's not like he's not grinding out innings anywhere. He's not a catcher. I think he's still got a couple more, and he's thinking about being a manager too.
They were going to offer him a player manager this
right,
year.
Right, and he's in the American League, so he can do that. He can be a manager, he can be a DH, and still produce and get hits and runs. So I don't know. I still think, you know, he's not first ballot, obviously, but I think he's going to make it.
All right, my number one is Big Poppy. I think Big Poppy is one of the better hitters this generation. He's not going to get it because they hate DHs. But I think you look at Big Poppy's numbers and production is still there. The clutch hits he's had. Big Poppy is one of my favorite players of this era. I don't know. Does he make your list?
He was definitely a consideration. I mean, like you said, he's a DH, so you can only take that into consideration for so long. But for me, I don't know. I mean, you know, he played well in Minnesota. He comes over to Boston. He blossoms. I think it's the fact that he's in the American League and that he can DH and continue to be in that position, even if it's not in Boston, I still think he has like two or three good years in him, maybe even four or five. Who knows? And, you know, the fact that he can get into an organization or a lineup that allows him to hit for power and slug and get somewhere where he's not – the pitchers are not avoiding him. They're not intentionally walking him. I think that's something that – take into consideration. As far as my list goes, very weird list.
Okay. It's a weird category.
I mean, look at the piece of paper I'm holding. I had like 30 guys on there that I was considering, and one of them was Mark Kotze, just to give you an idea of where my head's at.
Okay.
In no particular order, you know, you talked about Beltran and Rolen. Beltran and Rolen were on my list. I don't know that they were 10 and 9, but, you know, something that... God, Roland is not. No offense to Roland, but I can't see him being in there. The fact that he's been in the league for so long and that his time is running out and does not have the numbers. Levon Hernandez.
That's a good call. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame, but he was very, very good in his year.
17 years in the league. He's 37, and, you know, he has some very memorable moments. He led a couple teams to the World Series, you know, and he's dependable. But the fact is, like, nothing really stands out about him.
Yeah, he's got the Bugs Bunny loop-de-loop
ball. Other than his 50-mile-per-hour curveball. I'll go pitchers first. Just go pitchers.
Yeah.
Garrett Lowe.
Derek Lowe's another good one, the big stinker ball.
Derek Lowe, 16 years in the league, 39 years old. He's always low in ERA. He has a lot of movement on his ball. But, again, I don't think he has those moments that really stand out.
Right.
Bartolo Colon.
That's a good one.
Bartolo
made that splash for the Indians.
He was lights out for the Indians for a long time, and then he just kind of faded away. He's now in his 15th year, 39. This is going to be – you're going to slap me across the face.
I might go. You're right. Go right over the balcony.
Jason Isringhausen. Here's my argument on Jason.
Okay, I'd love to hear this argument.
You look at the active save leader.
Yeah.
Mariano.
Yeah.
Jason.
Is that right?
He might not be second, but he's second or third.
Yeah.
Among active players in the saves category. You forget that he went to the Cardinals and he was 30 to 35.
Yeah, he was very, very good. Yeah.
For like four. I think it was 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
From like 04 to 10, he was just like, he was the guy to shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was good. You're right, he ain't making the Hall of Fame. But yeah, he was very, very good.
Good. Next up was Joe Nathan.
Joe Nathan was on the bubble of my list. Joe Nathan, I like him a lot. He's another guy that I don't think, these guys get enough credit. But yeah, I like Joe Nathan on it.
So we had Belchon rolling. Then we had Jason Giambi.
Giambi was on my list. I crossed Jason Giambi was when I first started thinking of him. I put him down. Prolific
and
home run numbers.
Here's the thing. He has pretty good numbers.
Great power and RBI.
Great RBIs. But the thing that comes into question with him is like he's in that category where it's like
he basically is a DH that played first base.
Yeah.
And he took steroids.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no. That's another thing. Giambi had ridiculous numbers.
Dad, why don't you ever talk about Jason Giambi? We don't talk about
Shut up, son.
I signed a contract.
Yeah.
And then the last two for me are Miguel Tejada.
Great one. God, I don't know how I missed them all together. Great one.
From 02,
MVP.
02, 04, 06, 09, the guy was like, you couldn't get any better than that. And it's sad because he's in the Giambi category as well.
Yeah, but he was fantastic. That's right. I mean, he should be a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
And then finally, and you know what? I've been to Seattle, and I like it. I like the rain. I'm not like Misdemeanor Elliott.
Yeah.
I like the rain.
Yeah.
I've been to Seattle. I've dealt with a couple Huskies.
Been on the wrong side of that, yeah.
But Ichiro Suzuki is not making the Hall of Fame.
You are completely, completely insane. This guy had 10 consecutive seasons with 200 hits. Nobody's ever done that.
Don't care.
He had more hits in the single season than anybody else.
Don't care.
There are plenty of Colin Cowherd hates Ichiro because he doesn't hit for power. He has a low on-base percentage. But don't forget how the stolen base this guy has.
Don't care.
The defense he plays.
Don't care.
How is he not a Hall of Famer?
I don't care.
What don't you like about him?
I'll take Giambi over Suzuki any day of the week.
Crazy, dude. He is a first ballot. Not the Hall of Famer. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Ew. I don't want to be part of a country that lets that happen.
Wow. And on the 4th of July and everything.
On the 4th of July.
With the fireworks booming in the background. All right. Well, that's a great list. And I'd like to hit us up on the Facebook page if you have any anybody that we might have missed that you think are great. Like, I forgot all about the Hada, and that's a great call. Let's transition over. We're going to close it out with the 5 and 10. Best topic, best segment of the show always. Number one, let's start with Tiger Woods. Is he now back? The idea is that anybody that doesn't think he's back doesn't know anything about golf. But I still am not convinced that he's back. He's back to being a very, very good player, obviously. But the fact that, although he did close the deal on this guy, it was because the guy bogeyed his last four holes. And he didn't come charging towards the end of that final round there, with anything good. They're going back and forth. The guy bogeys a hole, he bogeys a hole. I still don't see that killer Tiger instinct where he just, people are scared of you. I mean, you think he's back to being Tiger? I mean, it's like the Derek Jeter debate. I agree, he's very, very good. He's not Babe Ruth. I agree, Tiger Woods is back to being very good. He's not Tiger Woods anymore.
Yeah, but, like, I think he's the same mindset that I am, which is, you know, what's the fascination with me? What do I need to do? Why do I have to do anything, really?
Because you're Tiger Woods.
Because you're Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, so what is he battling for right now?
The best player of all time.
You don't think he's the best player of all time?
I do, but the idea is now
if he doesn't break those records, so that he can't ever reach.
Yeah, it's so that nobody can make that a comparison. The old timers still won't give Tiger Woods the credit. In my mind, of course, he's the best player of all time. The idea that, you know, the competition he's playing against
exactly
is much
like,
harder.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
but until he breaks those records, the old timers aren't going to give him that benefit of the doubt.
Who cares about the old timers?
Well,
like,
that's what you asked. What he's playing for? That's what he's playing for, in my opinion. So I don't think he's back to being the Tiger.
He won't be back until I don't even think he thinks the old timers care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's not playing for the old timers. Until he does play for the old timers, he won't be quote unquote back.
He's got to be thinking about that stuff.
And the fireworks are booming overhead. All right, now topic number two.
What are your thoughts? And I expressed some of my brief thoughts about this Olympic sprinter, this female sprinter who they called it dead. First, was awarded the third place finish, which got her into the Olympics. They then went back and looked at the tape. They gave it a dead heat. They were going to do a runoff. They gave her the option of a coin flip or a runoff. She agreed to the runoff, then thought about it and conceded, and now is an alternate. You're a person who spent your whole life, from the moment she started sprinting, you want to get to the Olympics. All you want to do is represent your country. She felt that she was wrong, and so she's not going to do the sprint off? I don't even understand that. Can you defend her at all?
On the list of things that, you know, I hope I never do in my life.
Yeah.
I think backing out of a runoff to get into the Olympics is probably on that list.
Exactly. I mean, that's something, it's amazing. And so, I don't know, I'd love to hear anyone.
Why don't you go to one of the worldwide sporting events? I was wrong.
Yeah, I was just wrong. Yeah, you have a chance to go to the Olympics. It only happens every 4 years. You only have a small window of your career. Yeah, I was just wrong. It was a dead heat.
A lot of people are saying that, you know, and I don't mean to be sexist or chauvinist or whatever, but there are some that would suggest that that is the difference between men and women, that two men, there would never happen between two men.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't. Probably wouldn't. And that's not being a sexist thing. It probably wouldn't. I'd be way more shocked if a man. Now, topic number three, and it's not much to even discuss, because it's a guy that going into this year, going into maybe a month ago, I never heard of the guy. But this guy, Billy Hamilton, in the Reds organization, the middle infielder, he's got 100 stolen bases at AAA or AA, wherever he's at. It might be over two levels.
He's single A.
Single A guy?
Bakersfield.
Guy's got 100. He's been thrown out 21 times. It means he's attempted 121 stolen bases.
He gets
77 guys.
He's stealing.
He's batting .327. He's got an on base percentage well over .400. Again, I'll give credit to DJ Zulo, producer for Murray in the Middle program on Mad Dog Station there on XM. He's the one that posted on Twitter, and I followed it. I started following him a month and a half ago. And my God, the guy's got 100 stolen bases.
Why is he single A? I don't.
That's what I'm getting.
He's annoying.
And they got Zach Cozart playing shortstop, who is not the answer for the future. I don't know. But I mean, the guy's got 100 stolen bases. But he's got to be a call up. I don't care what you say. He's got to be a call up. Just for the idea that you're gonna have him come up and steal bases, and they're gonna be in the playoff run.
Oh yeah, and I think if you're on that team's PR staff, you want to have to pick up Cruz. Like, the legendary.
He came at 200 in a season. It's amazing. I want to start a little bit of a 25th anniversary, a little bit of a game. You can see the final play of the time for Talk Radio. Now that there's over 700 stations, strictly the top. I get a I miss callback in. There was a couple cool moments. I thought it was cool when
Boomer and Carton.
And you know, we're back. We had a little, I think it must have been the fireworks that cut us off there.
The microphone literally
boosted. Guys, we got to get out of here.
We're going to change it.
But so, where would you rank? So, the main programs, you got Boomer and Carton, you got Joe and Evan, you got Francesa, Summers.
I never listened to Joe and Evan.
Yeah.
I listened to Boomer and Carton like for the last hour or so. The most is not exactly the ideal, but it's like that's the time I'm awake and I'm listening. Summers, honestly, it's weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
You know, he was on the original lineup. He's been there 25 years.
I mean, I listen to him and I get a little creeped out, but I can't turn it off.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
I'm listening to the same thing. Like, soliloquy at the beginning of the show. It's all like scripted and weird and all that, but, I like Boomer. I do like Joe and Evan. I think Francesca is listenable. I know he's like the legendary pioneer of the thing. I really
I just
gotta,
like to get flustered.
Yeah, I like when he gets made stupid and but then he hangs up on people. I can't stand him. I aspire to be what he is, and I'd love to do what he does. I don't even know if I'd want to meet him. If they were like, hey, Mike Francesa wants to talk to you, I'd be like,
all right.
No, I would just big league him. No, I'm good. I'm all set. All right, so let's close it out. We're going to go with Trevor Bauer. The hype around that Trevor Bauer in L.A. Now, you mentioned his warm-up routine. A guy I played baseball with sent me the YouTube clip when he was at UCLA, and this guy comes in when he comes his warm up pitch, he crow hops over the mound.
It's great.
And throws the ball about 104 miles.
I'm all about it.
He's had a little, the story behind him, he's got a little bit of quirkiness to him, more so than even Tim Lincecum. When he was a little kid, he didn't really have any friends. He would take a bucket of ball to a park, throw them as far as he can, go get them. Throw him the other way as far as he can or whatever. So he's a weird dude. He had ridiculous numbers, strikeout numbers in the minors. He's only been in the minors for the rest of the year. He got drafted last year. Now he's up. He got shelled yesterday. But, you know, you got an electric arm like that. I think he's going to be obviously somebody to watch. I know, like, fantasy baseball guys are all over him. He's going to be very good. And then you look at that rotation. You got to like what Arizona's doing. But what are your thoughts about his warm-up routine? You were a pitcher. I mean, what do you think? I thought there's no way the major league manager would let him do that, come into a game and crow up over the mound.
Well, you actually
did. I did. My freshman year, I pitched. I got the incident off arrow after a ball. Okay, yeah, I did used to pitch, yeah.
Us pitchers are a rare breed.
Yep, odd enough. I wasn't odd enough. I think that's why Babbitt put me on it.
Exactly. We take our crap very seriously. I don't know if you ever noticed, but I have my own routine. It's not very nutso, but it's like it's nutso to me. I have to do it. Otherwise, I can't pitch. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I come up. I sweep the rug three times.
Yeah?
Left, right, left.
Yeah.
And then I'm ready to go.
And that brings you back to
left, right, left, and then I'm ready to go. If I don't do that, I'm all kinds of
all
out of the place.
Why is that? Why are you guys so weird, man?
Weird.
You know, Osama.
I don't know.
Osama, our former host, he was a pitcher too, but he was a hitter. He had a couple weird little quirks, but when we played home games, he would come in through the back of the batter's box and sweep off the chalk. And he would say, well, it's my own house, I can come in the back door. And when he was on the road, he would do the same thing, but from the front, because he's like, well, I'm going to somebody else's house, I go through the front door. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
And
he does that in softball now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
although there's no chalk, but.
And if I would strike one out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a righty, so I would land up on, I would end up on the first base side. First base side of things. Well, as you know, if you follow baseball.
Yeah.
Is that you go around the horn, it ends up at third base.
Yeah.
So I would walk around the mound.
And just meet the ball?
And meet the ball at third base.
Look at too. You have to.
You can't cross the mound once it. Hey, it just experienced the strikeout.
Let him own it. I never had any of those things. I don't think I do any of those things.
Oh, and I can't. Well, I had the Trendle thing where I can't step on the chalk.
I couldn't do that. No,
I wouldn't hop over it. I would casually stride over it.
Yeah. I'm not touching it.
If you follow my stride, you'd be like, that's right. Because of the chalk.
Did he have a wedgie? Or was the jock riding up a little bit? All right. Well, I thought that was a great show. The fireworks, I mean, a very patriotic show. I wish this was close to look to it again. I'd love to do that. Somebody yelling refund down in the yard right now. I don't know what that's about, but we're
going to get him his money's worth right now.
Me and Neil are going right into the pool. But thanks for listening. Hit us up on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Next week, hopefully, we'll have JT and Tony back. Great show, Neil.
Great show, Mike.
Later.